Revelation chapter 3, as we continue the study concerning the church of Sardis. Revelation chapter 3. And the study is really going to begin down in verse 4, but we will read the chapter and even the first verse of the Church of Philadelphia. I don't believe that we're going to get that far today, but we might be prepared for it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath seven spirits of God and seven stars, I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which are not defiled, have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." And now verse 7 of chapter of the same chapter, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." Let's begin with prayer now. Father, we thank you that we can come and enjoy this study as we close out the study on the church of Sardis and possibly begin with the church of Philadelphia. Please, that you just guide and lead us and strengthen us. Give me strength today to proclaim your word. And dear Father, that your Spirit will give me wisdom of what to say, and the Spirit in the hearts of all believers here will hear your words, receive your word, and then apply it to their hearts for strength and joy and power. And please, dear Lord, that you will show us your way and will, and then we will serve you and praise you and honor you. I thank you today, Father, for your precious word, and we do, as always, pray for those that are here that are lost, that they will hear the truth today, as that one hymn said, "He is patiently waiting at the door," and oh, dear Lord, we know there is a time when you'll depart, and that's not necessarily of a division of death. It can be earlier than that. And so please, I just ask, dear Father, that there'll be no one here that'll tempt you, that'll just continue to wait, but today that they'll come and trust in you as their Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This statement in verse 4 is a very, very sad statement. Probably a true statement in many churches of that day and of today. And that statement is, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." A few names. And it puts aside the thought there. Sardis appears to be so much out of the will of God that it says, "Even in Sardis, there's a few." In other words, I can't imagine there was any left, but there are a few. Well, it's almost that way today, in our world today. There are a few that have stayed true to our Lord and Savior and stayed true to His Word. Now, "they shall walk with me in white," as this scripture tells us, "for they are worthy." They are worthy. The fifth verse begins and says, "He that overcometh." He that overcometh. We should be overcomers. That's what should be explanation, should be a description of a believer. We are overcomers. And an overcomer isn't one that has struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, and finally when I die, I have overcome and now I'm saved. Because an overcomer is one that is born again. We have salvation given to us. It's the grace of God. God saves us by faith. And all we need to do is ask Him into our hearts, and He saves us. And then we have the opportunity to be an overcomer. Overcome what the world has to offer. Overcome temptation to worship things of this world and this land. We need to set our eyes and our hearts upon our Lord and Savior. It is those that overcome that receive a plenty of rewards that God wants to give us. Those that overcome and are overcomers are ones that feel the victory, that hold the joy, that have the peace and the power and the strength that God wants every believer to possess. But you can be a believer in Jesus Christ and have salvation and not be an overcomer. Salvation is a free gift to us. But to overcome is the next step. It is the step that once again, you and I have to make. It is not something that can be gained by our own strength and power, but it's our surrendering and willingness to serve the Lord and to praise the Lord that then He hands us special blessings and special power. So every believer should be an overcomer, but most are not. Most live a defeated life. Genuinely saved, yes. As we said last week, many are professors of the word, but few are possessors. And what we need to understand as a believer in Jesus Christ is greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do we know that? Do we really understand that? That the Spirit of God that lives within us is greater than any power that is in this world. Any power. So, my friend, we can't be defeated. We can't be destroyed. So, when we feel defeated and feel destroyed, it's because we have surrendered to the world and not to our Lord. We need to be overcomers. They said here that there are a few in this body believer, there's few in this church, a few believers that are overcomers. He that overcometh, and it's the command to these few that are standing solid and true that they would proceed on to be overcomers, that they could receive the full blessing that God wants them to have. And so often we seem to wait for our inheritance in heaven. We're gonna when we live and we live and we struggle and we struggle and then we die and finally I am in heaven. But if you become an overcomer, the joy and the peace and the wisdom and the strength can be ours right now. And He's telling this little church the same thing. He's telling this handful of believers that are left, if you overcome, not if you hang on long enough, you'll be saved. And we've talked about the tense, and I'm not going to take time to do it today because we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. They're wiped clean, but we're being saved, and we will be saved. And so I hope that wasn't enough to confuse you because salvation is free. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. That we can all live. Now, I've got some verses of Scripture here that talks about what brings us to this overcoming. And the first we need to look at is the verse I read was in 1 John. And so please go with me to 1 John chapter 4. I want you to see these verses of Scripture with me today. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 2 through verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Do we need to read that verse of Scripture over and over again so that we can be reminded of the victory that we have? And so, what a beautiful verse of Scripture, and that explains it so thoroughly. But we're going to go back to Ephesians here. I want you to go back to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Because here's something that God asks us to do because of something that He has done. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." When we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, He seals us. And to be an overcomer is one that does not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now go with me now to Colossians, which you'll have Philippians, Colossians 1:27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, and hope and glory." We need to understand the promises that God has given us, the hope that He has given us. And now let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll then continue. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. We possess Jesus. He comes into our heart. The Holy Spirit wants to guide and to lead us. And that's where the power and strength comes when the surrendered heart comes. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin with verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything at the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a beautiful promise. What wonderful questions. Again, questions that we may need to ask ourselves, and so we can be reminded of His power and of His strength. And so as we return now to Revelation chapter 3, we can be overcomers only if we are covered by the blood of Christ. And to be an overcomer is one that the promise comes then, that not only be clothed with white raiment, but I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Who does these promises come to? It comes to the overcomers, the possessors. the one who overcomes, not by our own power and ability, but by the power and the ability of God that lives within us. That's how we become overcomers. We try to do it all ourselves. And when we do, we are defeated and beaten down. And we need to be reminded, the world teaches us that if you work hard enough and you do it and you do it and you do it, it's going to be fine, it's going to be okay, and I'm going to be successful. But real success only comes when we listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to walk each day and serve Him and praise Him and honor Him in all of our work, our daily work, what the things that we do, the folks that we care for, all these things, we can become an overcomer because of the blood of Christ and not because of our own ability. We have a couple of words here, and we're going to look at both of them. One is the word blot out, and then the other is the book of life. Now, there is much discussion, and a lot has been written by the folks that love the Word of God concerning these things, because once you're born again, your name is forever written. We just read those verses in Romans, that nothing can separate us from the love of God once you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And yet this verse of Scripture says, you know, if you become an overcomer, then I will not blot out your name out of the book of life. And so in studying, I find two categories, and there are listed in the Scripture two genealogies. One is the genealogy of Adam, and you find that in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. The second is in Matthew 1:1. That's the genealogy, the book of the generation of Adam is the first, and the second is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, the first is in connect, of course, with Adam. That the generations of Adam is everybody. But the sad thing is that's the generation of death. In Adam, all died. So when we look at that, we find death. Well, hopefully you've already figured out that if you're of the generation of Jesus Christ, that's of life. And so we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ is the book of life. If that's true, what about this part being blotted out? Can we lose our salvation? We have preached and taught for years that that's impossible. John chapter 10, verse 28 tells us, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Never. What a wonderful promise we have in the Word. Many Bible scholars believe that this book of life is the book that all names are written in. Who did Jesus die for? He didn't die just for those that were going to choose Him. He died for all the world. And, you know, I've made reference different times because we're going to look at back in Revelation here in just a little bit where it says the books are opened and the book was opened. And so we know there were separate books. But, you know, the book of life here, everyone, there was not one person that Jesus did not die for and take their sins away. Not one person that has ever lived or ever will live is going to have to answer for one sin if they come by faith to Jesus. Otherwise, they will answer for all their sins, and they cannot pay one dollar figure or give anything to answer for that. And so we know it would be eternal death and be sent to the lake of fire through eternity because of their neglect and rejecting the Lord Jesus. But this book of life here, that this list of all the world, and it's suggested that as folks come to age, you hear the quote, age of accountability, that then that name, as they come to that age and as they come through their life and they get to that place that they reject Jesus, that name is removed from that book. And when they stand before the judge and they look and they're going to see a place, there's your name. All you had to do was come by faith to me. That is all you had to do. And you found another reason. You found another religion. You found another way. Well, there is no other way. There's no other religion. The only way is Jesus Christ. And by faith in Him through His precious word. So that's one person's thought. Others believe that there are the two books, the one book that all are listed in, and then there's the book of the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you come by faith to Jesus, that is where your name is written, is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the other one is where it leaves it when you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, whichever that you prefer to believe, we know that when your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, it will never be removed. Never. We know that. We have several verses of Scripture that have reference to this, and it's all in Revelation, so you're not going to have to turn too far. But go to Revelation chapter 13 with me, and we have just several verses here we're going to look at. Revelation 13, and we're going to begin with the 6th verse. Some of these are talking about those that are written, and some are talking about those that are not written. And here is a are not. Revelation 13, 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So there's a group that's going to worship the beast, but that group is not the group that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life is forever secure in the Lord. Let's go to 17:8. Revelation 17:8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Again, another group that is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go to chapter 20 with me. Chapter 20, verse 12. This is one that you're familiar with. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And as the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And now verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Your name, my friend, must be written down. And it can be written down if you just come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb's Book of Life. 22. Chapter 22, verse 19. We read this verse this morning in Sunday school. Revelation 22:19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Your name needs to be written down. And what we do know, whether there's two books, whether it's the Lamb's book of life is the one, but once you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that name is never removed. Never removed. So whether because Jesus died for all the world, that your name is written down until you become of age, and then if you reject the Lord Jesus, not accept him by faith, then your name is removed from that roll. I'm not sure how it's done. God knows. God did it right. But we know that if you come by faith to Jesus and trust in him, your name is written down, never to move. And we know that your name must be written in the Lamb's book of life to have eternal life, to have the love of God and the power of God and the strength of God. It's the only way. We find once again in this, back in Revelation chapter 3, that the conditions were so that it was a miracle that anyone was born again, that anyone that was still saved. The conditions were so that, and again, it sure looks like today, doesn't it? So, as we look at those that overcome, and it applies to us, what we can have. According to these verses of Scripture and these verses only, we can walk with Jesus. We will walk with a white clothed in a white raiment. The promises is that our name will not be blotted out from the book of life. And Jesus himself will stand before his Father and confess us and to the Father's angels. Is what's going to happen to those that become overcomers. Overcomers. And then as we close this local church and this church age, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We're back once again to an individual responsibility. Each one of us are responsible to listen. Each one of us are responsible to open the Word of God and to study the Word of God. You know, you can come to church and you can listen. You can come to all the Sunday school classes. But if you fold that precious book up and set it in the corner or leave it here at church because I don't need it till I come back here, you're not going to be an overcomer. Those that overcome are those that love the Word of God, that study the Word of God, that search the Word of God. And there are many, many different ways of serving the Lord, but it is each one, it is our responsibility that we search out and desire to know our God and to serve him. And I don't mean for salvation, to know him, to walk with him. It's our responsibility to listen and to hear what the Spirit has to say. Man speak, many men teach. And sad to say that as a whole, the world believes everything that man says. We are to be discerners of the Word of God. So when you hear me preach something, when you hear any Sunday school teacher, you hear someone on the outside say anything, where is the power? Where is the authority? Where is the truth? It can only be found by the Spirit of God confirming it in your heart. And so when you hear something, the more you grow, the stronger you become, the more that you become an overcomer, you will recognize immediately the falseness and the lies that are out there. Multitudes, for some reason, again, when promise keepers came on the scene, They were brought into it, and then they got into it and realized it wasn't right and got back out. But you don't have to get into it to know it's wrong, because the Spirit of God will show you. Will show you. You want to know wisdom and knowledge and power and strength? To serve Him, to praise Him, to live in this world, all comes from Him. And so please trust Him today. But it is our individual responsibility to do that. God uses individuals to proclaim His word, but He uses the Spirit within the individuals to grow them. And so we need to trust in what the Spirit has to say. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that hath an ear, an individual, each were responsible for themselves. So let's give our lives unto Him, our wills unto Him, and learn about what our Lord wants us to be and give us strength. That we don't worry about this world. You know, there's some things going on in this world, in this country right now, that could make you go hide your, you know, be an ostrich, go hide your head in the sand. Or we can stand strong, knowing that no matter what happens anywhere, our God knows where we are, knows what we need, and will supply it. Now that should be joy in the heart of every believer. Trust in God, please. He's the only one. He's the only one that has never, ever, ever, or ever will deceive you in any way. He will never bring harm to you. He is there always to lift us up and to hold us. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that we can come today and study Your precious word, enjoy this time together as we've just closed out the Church of Sardis. I just ask that we decide, that we make our minds up that we're going to be overcomers. And we're going to come with power and strength and serve You. And again, it's not even our own power. It's Your given. It's God-given power. Lead us, dear Lord. Strengthen us, dear Lord. Show us how to serve You. Show us what to do and when to do it. Please, dear Lord. And please take these worldly cares away from us. Worldly worries. Yes, for us to speak and stand for You in this ungodly land, we must do. But even when all the world seems to be falling apart, we have You. You will never leave us, never forsake us. That needs to bring joy into our hearts. Sometimes, Father, we just need to be reminded how much You love us. Thank You, dear Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.